Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and known in some circles as America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But I am Doug McBurney, and I'm joined today in studio with the author of the blockbuster We Won't Get Fooled Again, Mr. Greg Jackson.
How many times did it take you to get that whole introduction down? I mean, that's impressive.
Well, you know, I watched him for 10 years.
I mean, do you practice that in front of the mirror? Do you say it in the shower?
I mean, do.
How do you get to be so, I don't know.
Yeah, it's in the shower, and I'd rather not talk about it any more than that.
Okay.
Let's just leave it all at right. That. I'd rather talk about...
Uncomfortable.
I'd rather talk about this book, We Won't Get Fooled Again.
Yes, let's, shall we?
Wow. Greg, I read this book...
Yes.
...on a trip I made recently to the great state of Virginia. I read the first half of the book on the way to Virginia. Then I toured some of the Civil War battlefields in Virginia, and I read the rest of the book on the way back. And so it was wedged in between the two halves.
Now, what did
of the
you
book.
Do in between, though, like when you were there? You didn't pick it up, like in your hotel room or?
No, it was a
Not to get too personal.
No, it was a one-nighter, and I was
working. Oh, one-nighter. Okay, that makes sense.
The whole time.
Okay. I would have gotten worried because had you, you know, just read it on the plane and then a week goes by, you hadn't read it, and then you
pick it up again. No.
That would lead me to believe that it really wasn't that interesting.
No, it was as if I never got
It was a page turner.
It was a page turner. It was as if I never got off the plane, first of all. And so I was able to read the book within a 48-hour period. And it had quite an impact because when you walk around Fredericksburg and some of the Civil War battlefields, it really puts things into perspective, man's inhumanity to man, and the idea that civilization is really just a thin gilded layer around complete wickedness and utter corruption that could break out at any moment. And it did in the Civil War. It's awful. Just awful to tour some of those. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to do that. If you haven't, folks, you need to do it. It's a life-changing experience to realize what could happen, what did happen in our country.
Only a couple of hundred years ago.
Yeah, it could.
Not even.
And it could happen again. That's what I find so interesting about the book, is that this book is about...
Carnage?
It's about the pro-family industry. That's the way I take it. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong,
seeing as you wrote the book. I'm more interested to hear what your thoughts were. You read the book.
My co-author,
Steve Dace, and I spent 3 years interviewing people and writing the book, but
yes.
I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, what I loved about
And by
book,
the way, we had lunch today, but we didn't even talk about your thoughts about the book.
No, I wanted to hit you with this cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I could get your honest opinion.
You had a better lunch than I did, by the way.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Quiznos makes the best tuna sub. At least as fast food.
My wife's salad with quinoa, I believe it's called, or quinoa.
Okay.
Quinoa. It looks like quinoa, but it's quinoa.
Okay.
Didn't quite hold a candle to what you were eating, I can tell you that.
It was pretty good.
I'm going with the Quiznos tuna sub next time.
So
anyway,
We Won't Get Fooled Again.
We digress.
Is a series of interviews with the who's who of the pro-family industry, as well as actual conservative Christians that are in the book. What I found interesting about the book and why I think the book is of so much value and so critical to anyone out there who really wants to understand where are we in the culture war, what happened in the culture war, and how do we get to the other side? How do we get to victory in the culture war? Because where there's life, there's hope, Greg. And I'm of the opinion that we lost the culture war before I got on the battlefield. I became politically active in the mid-1990s. And as best I can tell, the culture war was already over, and we had already lost.
And we document it in our book, and that's why we set out to ask these leaders who were far more knowledgeable and had far more experience and wisdom than a couple of young bucks.
Yeah.
We wanted to find out why, and that's the question we asked them. Why, after all this money,
yeah,
tens and hundreds of millions of dollars in political activism from pro-family groups, Christian pro-family groups and pro-life groups involved in politics, why is it that we've virtually lost on every front of the culture, as you call it, the culture war?
Yeah.
Why are the schools more pagan?
Yes.
Why is society more pagan? Why is Planned Parenthood killing more babies than ever? Why are we giving Planned Parenthood more money than ever? Why is pornography and massive amounts of violence being pumped into our homes?
Why are Christians more in the closet and homosexuals more out of the closet?
Amen.
How did this happen?
How did it happen?
What gives this book the flavor of truth and reality is the fact that within itself, it reminds me of the Bible in this, okay? Not to put too much pressure on you to compare the book to the Bible.
It's somewhat blasphemous, too.
But the Bible, the way you can tell the Bible is true is that within itself, it checks itself and it confirms itself.
I see what you mean.
And in that respect, not that this book is inspired. I don't want to be blasphemous.
Well,
but
we hope that it is, though, Doug, not to.
Well, hey.
And that was
our
prayer.
There's some lines in here that are definitely inspired.
Well, Steve and I, from the very beginning, said that we didn't want this to be a self-promoting book, an I gotcha book that had a condemnatory spirit. We want it to be more of a Jeremiah-ad.
There you go.
In the same tone that Jeremiah, the weeping prophet of Israel, came across. And that's really, we took no great pleasure in writing the book. We did in advance, hopefully advancing righteousness in America to a certain degree, taking an honest inventory or an assessment of where we're at in our culture, how we got here, as you said at the beginning, and then where do we go from here?
Yeah. So, okay, so it's not about self-promotion, but it is about promotion and selling books. By the way, folks, the name of the book is We Won't Get Fooled Again. Right. Where can folks find the book?
Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again. They can go to our website, won'tgetfooled.com, and we got a great two-minute, very short book trailer that I think you will be blown away by. It's at won'tgetfooled.com. You can also go to my website at gregjackson.com, GREGGJACKSON.com, or stevedace.com.
Stevedace.com.
That's DEACE.
We don't want to leave Steve out of the conversation. Steve, obviously the co-author and a powerhouse radio host himself, and
amazing,
not a member,
guy.
Not a member of the pro-family industry. Although he's in this book, he's one of the actual conservative Christians.
Well, God, and that's why I say it's inspired from the standpoint that God orchestrated a lot of these events. He put both Steve and I in positions where we got to know some of the people that we talk about in the book.
Right.
And so we got to know them on a personal level and get an inside look from the inside of the pro-family, pro-life movement, the conservative, quote-unquote, movement in America. He gave us a special seat. And I describe that a little bit when I talk about introducing the presidential candidates at the Conservative Political Action Conference. And
you were the MC at CPAC 2 years in a row.
2007 to 2008.
So you had
and
a front row seat.
That had to come from God. That had to be orchestrated by God because I shouldn't have, given the amount of negative stuff that I was writing for townhall.com about Mitt Romney at the time.
Yeah.
So that was God ordained.
Yeah. Well, we're glad. The book is a series of interviews. And I remember calling you after I finished the book and I said, Greg, the book is, it's like an aria, and it builds and it builds and it builds. And then at the end, with the last few interviews, it's literally a crescendo of explanation and some condemnation of the pro-family industry. I said, Greg, how did you guys decide how you were going to put, you've got interviews in here, I don't want to forget anyone, but you've got interviews in here with Steve Baldwin, David Barton, Ann Coulter, Bob Enyart, Joseph Farah, Michael Ferris, Gary Glenn, Joe Glover, Buddy Hanson. Do you want me to do them all? Brandon House, Peter LaBarbera, Richard Land, John Lofton, Tom Minnery, Judge Roy Moore, and then Dr. Strangelaw. We'll get to that later. I called up Greg and I said, how did you decide how to put these in order? It's the perfect order. It built up like a movement, a musical piece.
Crescendo.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Aura.
So,
whatever that is.
How did you decide how to? Well, actually, now that I read through these, it's Baldwin, Barton, Coulter, E, F,
there's a method to our madness.
H, I, J, J, L, it's alphabetical.
Alphabetical.
Okay. Not
you know, that was, you know what, that was so encouraging when you asked me that question, and I said, Doug, we did it alphabetically, because Steve and I both, when we were talking, how are we going to arrange these chapters, these interviews? And Steve said, you know, I think we should do it alphabetically so that our listeners don't think that we stack the deck. In other words, we wanted this book to be written like Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, where he set out to disprove his wife's newfound faith in Christ by interviewing all of these subjects. Have you read the book?
I have not read it, but I've heard an interview with
Phenomenal book. He's got other books, The Case for Christ, The Case for a Creator. Long story short was that he set out to disprove her faith by interviewing subject matter experts in cosmology and astronomy and all of these different areas to disprove Christianity.
Yeah.
And he comes to the conclusion at the end that it's all true. And that's how...
Praise the Lord.
But we wanted it to come across that way. In other words, the most compelling and convincing part of Lee Strobel's Case for Christ to me was that I, as a skeptic, when reading the book, actually, I think I was a new believer at that point, somewhat skeptical and still had a lot of questions, but they answered a lot for me without Lee Strobel banging me over the head with it.
Yeah.
So we wanted our readers to be the jury. We looked at ourselves as being two prosecuting attorneys, but we wanted the convincing and compelling and persuasive evidence to come directly from our witnesses, expert witnesses.
Yeah. And the book does that. And what I like, Greg, is I like your courtroom analogy. Because, you know, in America, we seem to think it's sacred that the court approach a case presuming that the accused is innocent, okay? I personally believe that the courts should view a case and they should assume there's been a crime committed.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only assumption they could make. They shouldn't assume anyone's innocent or guilty. They should assume that something bad has happened. And that's what you and Steve did in this book.
You were all guilty anyway.
Yeah, but you approached it because it's obvious, if anyone wants to be honest, if you want to be honest with yourself, it's obvious that something went horribly wrong in the pro-family, pro-life movement,
the Christian right movement.
The Christian right movement. Something went terribly wrong because we've been utterly defeated on every front, as Dr. Dobson himself has said.
A wash in evil, he says.
Yeah, and so you went at it with that attitude, I think. I want to just one quick...
Yeah.
I talked about internal consistency. There's an interview with Steve Baldwin in which he exposes Jay Sekulow.
And Steve Baldwin, for your listeners who might think he's Alec Baldwin's brother.
One of the brothers.
Who happens to be, I think, a conservative radio show host in New York.
One of the brothers is a Christian, hardcore, good guy.
Right. And even Alec, who's a hardcore liberal, he actually is pretty funny.
Yeah, he's very talented and witty.
But aside from that, this Steve Baldwin ran the largest group of conservative leaders and organizational leaders in the country called CNP, which is the Council for National Policy.
Yeah.
So he was the executive director for 8 years. He happened to be the first interview. He's like the Rosetta Stone of the whole book.
Well, you're not.
And it worked out perfectly, and I'm glad that his last name didn't begin with W, because it wouldn't have been the same, right? So, but what you're going to quote from Stephen Baldwin, the head of the largest conservative or Christian right organization in the country.
Yeah.
So to set it up properly.
He basically talks about Jay Sekulow, and I'm not going to be able to get to the actual quote.
Well, I can paraphrase.
No, I can find it.
Sure.
He calls James Dobson a confused
That's
man.
That's a well-earmarked
all,
book you have
first
there.
Of all, he calls, I hope you don't mind that
no,
I
love
marked
that.
It up a bit. He calls James Dobson a very confused man. He says Jay Sekulow. This is what he says about Jay Sekulow, who, by the way, in the mid-1990s, when I became politically aware, one of the reasons I did was because I was listening to Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, me too.
He was one of my heroes.
Sure.
He says, here's what Baldwin says about Sekulow. Sekulow was raising tens of millions of dollars. He would do one highly visible lawsuit each year. The rest of the year, he just golf and cruise. So Steve Baldwin is exposing Jay Sekulow.
Steve Baldwin,
as an industry.
Yeah.
He's an industry guy.
Steve Baldwin is an unimpeachable witness. This guy has some of the highest degree of character and integrity of anybody that I've ever met, Steve Baldwin. So just to give you that as a background, impeccable credentials.
Impeccable credentials. And I don't doubt
but
it.
But I give him a lot of credit because he's spilling the beans.
Yeah.
He's giving us a look to see how the sausage is made behind the scenes.
Well, a little later in the book.
So, yeah, and he says about Sekulow, interestingly enough, that they basically, from the ACLJ, a lot of our listeners here probably have heard him on the radio.
Of course.
Right from the ACLJ, which is supposedly the opposite of the ACLU.
The American Center for Law and
Justice.
Yeah.
Now, they do a lot of good work.
They do
There's
some
no doubt
work.
About
yeah.
that. There's an element of truth to what they do and good work. But what he's saying is when you get a look at a lot of these organizations, not just the ACLJ, but There's Family a, Research
yeah,
Council.
Start,
and
start right on down the line.
Right. That essentially what you see is that they're nothing more And National Right to Life, you and
National
I both
Right
know
to
all
Life
about.
National Right to Life is probably the worst. They are direct
mail.
Yeah. They're direct mail fundraising industries.
Primarily.
Primarily, and they operate under the guise of a pro-family, pro-life.
That's right.
It's a guise. Yeah. The actual focus of what they do is direct mail and fundraising.
Right, and they make a lot of money, as Stephen Baldwin tells. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And in fact, he talks about how they raised $250 million raising money for the partial birth abortion ban, which any listener to this radio show knows because you and Bob have said it so frequently, in which even Dr. James Dobson has admitted didn't save the life of even one single human baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately. So, but it raised $250 million the pro-life industry.
Yeah. I bet there's some nice houses, cars, and portfolios that were produced.
Can you imagine if they would have put $250 million into personhood?
Yeah, how many lives were saved? I'm not sure, but there were some impressive portfolios. A little later in the book, David Barton is interviewed. Another thing I just want to point out, if folks, when you get your copy of We Won't Get Fooled Again, what you're going to hear is certain pro-life industry insiders.
They can go to Amazon, by the way. They don't have to go to the website, but the book trailer is on won'tgetfooled.com.
Won'tgetfooled.com, the name of the book, We Won't Get Fooled Again. We're in studio with author Greg Jackson. David Barton, a little later on in the book, indicts himself. And he indicts other people in the pro-life industry when he talks about Jay Sekulow. Now, I'm not going to quote this because I don't want to give this away. I want folks to pick up the book and read it for themselves because when you hear these words...
That's the way we wanted it to come across. We didn't want to be doing the indicting. Yeah.
And when you hear the words come from the very mouths of people like David Barton...
Head of Wall Builders.
The head of Wall Builders.
You know, widely known, I think, across America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Glenn Beck's
in bed right
star.
Now with Glenn Beck right now. Correct. Yeah.
Glenn Beck used my line.
Did he really?
He used my line on his radio show today.
Does he listen to your show? He's probably heard this show.
Yeah, I don't know if he listens to my show. Here's my theory about the personhood movement in the current presidential election. We need to find out who wants to be Abraham Lincoln. That's what we need to find out.
To free the slaves.
Beck used that line on his show the other day, and...
Well, you're like Reagan. You don't care who gets the credit for it as long as the idea goes forth.
That's right. That's right. And we'll pronounce further on politics in another interview, because right now I want to stick with the book. That just, it bothered me.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting perspective.
Anyway, to hear the words from these leaders themselves and then commingled with real Christian conservatives. You got Bob Enyart in here. You got John Lofton.
Who's Bob Enyart?
Yeah, that's the, you know,
Bob Enyart.
You know what? Bob Enyart's section was the only part of the book that I was able to skip over. Skipped over it.
You already knew.
Because I know it.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I know
You've heard it before.
Yeah. I didn't actually skip over it. I'm making that up. But
his chapter, I think, is one of the best chapters, and it was one of the first ones that we did, and it really gave us direction in terms of the other interviews that we recorded with other leaders. He really... gave us a lot of encouragement as well. Yeah. Very thankful to Bob.
Let me bounce some quotes off you from We Won't Get Fooled Again, available at Amazon. Go see the trailer at won'tgetfooled.com. Pick up a copy today if you want to find out where the Christian right went wrong and how to make America right again. I got a couple of quotes that struck me from the book that I want to just bounce off you and just get your take. Brannon House.
Yes.
First of all, can you tell folks who Brannon House is?
Well, Brannon House is a longtime pro-family leader. Worldview Weekend is the name of his site, and he does a radio show that's nationally syndicated. He has these Code Blue weekends that he does to try to wake up the church.
Yeah.
And is a guy I have a lot of respect for because he has, you know, like Steve and I have attempted to do in this book, he's really tried to shine the light of truth in the darkness, and he's... held, you know, the Christian and conservative leaders to the same standard, or is at least attempted to, that he holds the liberals like Obama to.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be doing, right?
Amen. And that's why the book is so compelling, because the contrast between someone like Ann Coulter and Brannon House, for many people, I think, Greg, they may not realize the stark contrast until they read this book. And they may look at Ann in a new light, and they may look at some other leaders in a new light. Brannon House says this. He says, the reason Christians today are not living in stark contrast to the world is because too many in the pews are not actually Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was like the marquee line for the book, because there's an awful lot of people in the pro-life industry, in the pro-family industry, in the conservative talk industry, I put that in quotation marks.
Yeah, the celebrity conservatives.
Who are not necessarily one of us.
Yeah, and you begin to see that they don't have that worldview. As a matter of fact, I believe Brannon House said in the interview that many of these so-called leaders, when you get into a conversation with them, you realize very quickly that they don't have an authentic Christian thought in their head.
And they're not really capable
and,
of
and
it.
And John Lofton said the same thing. Mm-hmm. John Lofton was in the Reagan administration.
Right.
He said that he was often mocked and scoffed at by bringing in the guy who claimed to be truth.
That's right.
The way, the truth, and the life.
And by the way, that is one of the more powerful interviews in the book, is with Mr. Lofton. And some of his recollections from the Reagan years, mm-hmm. I couldn't help but think that he was almost like behind enemy lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the administration that we all look to now as the model for victory was already corrupt. We're talking 1982, 1983. It was already, we were already being fooled.
He calls it stillborn. The modern day conservative movement
was stillborn. Wow. I mean, it was a really powerful, and that was really powerful because I remember in the 1980s, now my father is a Christian and a stark, raving, mad conservative, mad dog, red meat conservative.
And so he's got conservative comebacks to liberalize on the shelf, right?
Absolutely. I sent him a copy. And he's also got
Appreciate
Bob Enyart's
that.
The Plot that
well,
prominently
course.
Displayed. But I remember my dad pulling out his hair at the Reagan administration for their liberalism. That's what I remember as a young child. I remember my father saying, I can't believe he's sitting down and talking with these idiots. And he was talking about Reagan.
Here we are
almost 30 years later. And we've fallen so far that people are looking to the Reagan administration as if it's some model mm-hmm. for saving the country.
Right.
And I'm afraid it's not. And John Lofton's chapter really, really brings that home.
Yeah, in other words, looking to people instead of looking to the Creator.
Yeah, and you know what? There are people we can look to. God knows we need a
sure.
man. He knows we need a man to follow. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. We need a man to
Amen.
Follow. We want a man. We're wired that way.
Yep.
So there are men we can look to. But Ronald Reagan and his administration...
Hopefully godly men, yes.
Well, absolutely godly men. We need godly men that we can pattern ourselves after, like the Apostle Paul. He mm-hmm. even suggests that we do that.
Godly men, you know, like Mitt Romney, for example.
Mitt Romney. What's this big pile of money you're sliding over the desk toward? What? I don't want this money, Greg.
We get into that.
You don't have to.
People ask us, you know, you bring up Mitt Romney a lot in the book.
You do. Yes, you do.
Is it about Romney? And the book is not about Romney.
No.
But, well, I'm curious.
Well, all through the book,
he happened
Mitt Romney,
be the guy who.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney
is woven through this book like mm-hmm. a recurring viral infection.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps coming back over and over throughout the book. Mitt Romney is a symptom of everything you describe in this book.
And a lot of conservative and Christians, prominent conservative and Christians who supported him, really is an illustration of where the right went wrong.
Absolutely.
That any Christian leader or conservative pundit could support the founding father of sodomy-based marriage, the $50 copay abortion, socialized health care, billion-dollar in tax hikes.
Need you go on.
Barack Obama in a Reagan costume.
Yeah.
But this is where we are.
Yeah.
And that's why I wrote the book. How did we get to this place?
Mm-hmm.
How do we restore righteousness back in America? What does that look like?
Yeah. And I'm gonna get to what I took as the takeaway from the book. We'll get to that because
we're almost
out of time, and there's a few things that I will. By the way, I do want to thank you because I think 6 or 8 months ago I sent you and Steve Dace and Bob Enyart and a number of other prominent conservative Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you all an email thanking you for ending Mitt Romney's career. And this was maybe 8 months ago when I made the bold prediction that Mitt Romney will never compete.
I said, zombies never die.
You never gave up.
Russ is rolling his eyes. They don't, though, Russ.
No. Even the silver bullet.
Zombies never die.
Heart, matter what. Well, you didn't give up, and you've probably.
That's some weird sci-fi movie.
You've sent out. Greg Jackson sends out. If you're not on Greg Jackson's email list, you want to get on it. He sends out an almost daily reminder of who Mitt Romney is and why we must fight against him. And. You were right. I was wrong. I thought Mitt Romney's career was over, but I haven't dealt with zombies as long as you have.
I'm just trying to do the job that our so-called alternative conservative media should be doing, which is actually presenting the actual factual records of the candidates.
Mm.
But in this case, Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Doug. I take no solace in
Joe Glover,
gratitude. And
Joe Glover in the book calls the Christian Coalition a defunct organization.
Mm-hmm. Glover. Who's,
now, a lot of people may not realize this. The Christian Coalition is still around, and they're still doing direct mail.
Ralph Reed's organization.
And they're still raising tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars every year.
Mm-hmm.
And does anyone know what they're doing? Can anyone give me one example of something they've done to change the culture in the last 5 years?
You know what they do? They show up on CNN, and CNN loves it because they get a evangelical-looking Ralph Reed, Tony Perkins-type person there who they know is given over and who they know won't be able to defend the Christian faith, who poses no threat to the enemy.
Mm. Yeah, they love that, don't they, over at CNN? Another quote from the book. Buddy
He's a useful idiot. Is what I'm trying to say.
In fact, that's the
textbook. That's Mona Charon's term.
Textbook definition of a useful idiot. I believe it's actually Vladimir Lenin's
that's
term.
That's true. But Mona Charon wrote the book Useful Idiots.
Oh.
Talks about a lot of it.
She knew exactly
of which
what
Ann Coulter
talking.
Is, and when they read the book, they will see that.
So do we want to get to Coulter here? The email exchange between you and Ann Coulter
in the book, right.
You can't help notice...
Which I took no pleasure in putting in, but she would not agree to be interviewed for the book.
You simply cannot help but notice in that email exchange her oblivious explanation of her understanding of Christianity to Donny Deutsch.
Jewish non-believer on MSNBC.
Yeah, it's so obvious that Anne, while she has... has she ever claimed she's a Christian on television?
Yes, she claims she has. Very devout, yes.
Because I would have to say, based on the evidence...
Well, she wears a big cross every time she's on TV.
Yeah, well, so does Madonna, okay?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres was T-bowing on her show last week.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Eesh.
Anyway, there should be a law against that. Not that we need more laws, but if we were going to pass one more, it would be... Anyway.
Well, we should pray for
Ellen.
It's
so obvious to me, after reading this, that Ann Coulter doesn't understand the fundamental tenets of the Christian religion. She has no relationship with Jesus Christ. She doesn't understand the Bible. She couldn't even give a two-sentence definition of the gospel to an unbeliever, a Jewish unbeliever, who genuinely seemed like he was seeking at the time.
Would have been a great opportunity to share the real Jesus and look at Donny Deutsch and say, Donny, because he asked the questions, do you want this to be a Christian nation? He said, yeah, I'd love it if the Jewish Messiah could be in everybody's heart. And you could have your Messiah, Donny, the King of the Jews, in your heart. I'd love nothing better for you. She had the opportunity to say that. We tell the story in the book.
She does. And the email exchange that is chronicled in the book documents her moral collapse during the 2008 election cycle. Mm-hmm. Now, quickly.
Yeah, she let a lot of people,
millions
of people.
We've only got a minute.
Only a minute.
Buddy Hansen calls the pro-family organizations Machiavellian. You got to read that chapter. Joe Farah and the worldly machinations of GOPAC. To get inside the belly of that beast, Greg, wow. I mean, tremendous. But the takeaway for me from the book is outlined in the final chapter, Dr. Strangelaw. Folks, you got to pick up the book just for Dr. Strangelaw. But Michael Ferris and Gary Glenn both, I think, say about the same thing that you and Steve Dace say.
And Roy Moore as well.
And Roy Moore.
I know what you're going to say.
And their two chapters are two very concise and compelling accounts of why we're losing and how to win. Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to one thing. The answer is personal faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Genuine faith, genuine belief, a relationship with Jesus Christ, a return to personal faithfulness.
Yeah, that's what made this country great for 300 years of American history, even predating our founding.
It's not a return to Reagan. It's not even a return to George Washington.
George W. Bush?
It's not certainly not a return to George W. Bush. It's a return to personal faithfulness. The call goes out from the book. We won't get fooled again. Author Greg Jackson and Steve Dace, it's available on Amazon. Go to won'tgetfooled.com, check out the trailer, pick up a copy. We won't get fooled again. Thank you, Greg Jackson.
Thank you, Doug. It's an honor and pleasure, my brother. God bless.
God bless you all, and remember to do right and risk the consequences.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.